Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Brendan McCauley. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Brendan McCauley. He's a theology of the body speaker, instructor. And tonight, he's been on the show before, and tonight he's going to talk about healing primarily and our identity, made in the image and likeness of God, made for love, made to be in love, to give in love, and maybe some of the healing of some of the woundedness that happens in our culture today. How can we be healed from all the fallout of the sexual revolution?
And this is an episode you're not going to want to miss because Brendan really lays out a good, I think, plan. And just how to follow the plan of or that journey of healing. So we're now going to a reflection with Brendan.
One of my favorite parts in all of Scripture, and John Paul II says is the heart of Scripture, is Ephesians 5, 31 through 32, where St. Paul says, a man will leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery. Marriage, the one flesh union of man and woman, is a great mystery that refers to Christ's love for his church. That marriage is an appetizer that prepares us for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Who's this wedding between? Christ and his church. Where do we enter into this mystical, intimate union with God? Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the Mass. This changes everything. It changed my life because, oh my gosh, there is a source that corresponds to my infinite hunger for love and union and intimacy. God himself, the Eucharist, Holy Communion. Blessed Imelda Lambertini, one of my favorites, gives us a depiction of what's really happening. She was 8 years old and asked everyone, how are you receiving Holy Communion and not dying? Because it's infinite love. And at 11 years old, she entered the Dominican order as a novice. She was praying in the chapel, and the nuns smelt a fragrance of roses, followed the fragrance to see Imelda on her knees with a Eucharistic host levitating above her head. They got the priest. The priest grabbed it out of midair, gave it to Imelda, the body of Christ. She went into ecstasy, intimacy, union with God, and she died. I don't know why. I think of it this way. When you fall in love with someone, your heart might skip a beat. Maximize that times infinity. That's what happened to Imelda. This is the joy that we are made for, union with infinite love forever.
Brendan McCauley, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thanks for having me.
We had you on a little while ago talking about the Humanum Project. You're a co-founder there, and we talked about the theology of the body. This show, I'd like to talk some about healing some of the wounds of our culture, but let's start first with the challenges. What do you see? You're 27, you've done a lot of youth ministry work, you're out there speaking, boots on the ground. What do you see as some of the issues out there?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of issues. I think people are struggling in regards to relationships and even dating, just in general. Like, we know the statistics, which are the marriage rate has dropped like 50% in the US and Canada the last like 70 years. Mm-hmm. Women, in recorded history, at 30 years old, there are more women who are 30 without kids than there are who are 30 with kids. That's the first time ever in recorded history. This is really shocking, but I watched on a podcast where the number one pornographic site has about 180 million unique visitors every day. Mm. We are living in a confused culture. I mean, the percentage, I believe there was a new study done, and I know a lot of studies, where it showed about 25% of youth and high schoolers are identifying under the umbrella LGBTQ. You know, I was teaching high school for a little bit, and I asked all of them, be honest with me, guys, how much are you on your phone? What's your screen time? Average 8 hours. We don't know how to be in real relationship. As I see is what the problem is. And we talk about the theology of the body as kind of that vision that kind of helps guide how we're called to live. And yeah, I think people are lonely. People don't know how to, at least those that aren't married, just date well and end up hurting one another or ghosting one another or using one another. And then it builds up wounds of, I'm not wanted. I'm not enough. I'm not desired.
Yeah.
And that can get us into just depressive mindset, anxiety, sin, mm-hmm. Because, you know, we are hungry for love and intimacy. And when we're just being hurt or never pursued, or we're going to have wounds.
Right, right. Let's talk about the homosexuality piece, same-sex attraction, the transgender piece. What would be some of the theology of the body answers, responses to that?
Yeah, so in regards to same-sex attraction, I love Mother Teresa's response. Maybe you've heard this, where an interviewer asked her, you know, Mother, what do you think of gay people? Mm-hmm. And she said, do you mean beloved children of God? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so what do you mean of, what do you think of beloved children of God? And she's like, oh, wow, I love them. So at its root, the human being is a unity of body and soul oriented and ordered to the opposite sex, marriage, right? So the church in the catechism will describe same-sex attraction mm-hmm. as an intrinsic or objective disorder. And what right. the church means by that is just on a very natural level.
Right.
What does the word disorder means? It means to lack the order of. And that mm-hmm. male to female, female to male is ordered to one another.
Right.
Male to
right.
male, female to female lacks the order of the sexual body.
Yeah.
That is why it's an intrinsic disorder. And so mm-hmm. we have to hold that out, that there's a truth that God inscribed in our human nature, truth.
Yeah.
But I would say just what I've learned in theology of the body, as well as my own ministry and own formation, is we have to have love and mercy and compassion. You know, I've had a friend who told me and just broke down, Brendan, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And he was just crying and crying. And he said, I told my dad one day and he rejected me as his son. Mm. And I'm just witnessing this man in his pain. Yeah. And would it be right for me to say, hey, you know what the catechism of the Catholic yeah. Church says? It's like in that moment,
right.
the pastoral response would be, no, I just need to have him know I love mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. You know, but that statement, I am gay, I am lesbian, I am in the wrong body is an identity statement. And the church would say your attractions, your experiences don't define who you are. You're male or female, beloved son, daughter, made in God's image and likeness. That's our core identity. And so gender ideology is really a false vision of our humanity
right.
because it's saying the body is meaningless to who you are. Mm-hmm. And what's the solution if you feel like you don't belong in the right body mm-hmm. is to conform the body to the mind mm-hmm. rather than conforming the mind to the body, mm-hmm. the healthy human body. And yeah. so,
yeah, this was given to us that we are to receive it, to accept it. And yeah, there could be whatever difficulties therein, there might be some developmental issues, but to work on that stuff. And I think some of the studies show that, yeah, you get the drugs, the surgeries, and it doesn't really relieve, they still struggle with anxiety, depression, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not a healthy solution, so.
Yeah, every long-term study in mm-hmm. regards to medically transitioning, the results have not been good.
Yeah.
You know, and what, you know, gender ideology activists will say, oh no, mm-hmm. there are studies, look at these and these. Well, the studies are small groups and short-term.
Right.
But the studies in over 30 years,
yeah.
it shows the opposite. Yeah. And I think we put people in different camps. Oh, there's the LGBT community, and then there's the opposite sex attracted community. It's like, no, there's the human race.
Right.
Every person is sexually wounded from from the fall.
Right.
So it's one camp, we're the human family,
right.
and we all are in need of healing and redemption.
Yeah, and I there's some within the church are pushing this identity model, and you know, to say gay, that, I mean, we could have this attraction, but it's not our identity, as you mentioned, right? It's a part of us, a very important part, our sexuality and things, but we're children of God,
yeah.
loved by God. We're all called to repentance. I mean, we all have to be converted every day turn away from sin, embrace God. We're headed to heaven. That's where He loves us. He wants us to be with us. And sometimes I think that model that, you know, just is not really presenting the gospel in its fullness.
Yeah, that's right. People, yeah. You know? And it's, I'll be honest, we're in Catholic schools, in the homes, we haven't done enough. We've been silent, we've been soft, and it's like, no. The truth of the human person is amazing. It's freeing.
Right.
I spoke to a woman who was gonna medically transition. She attended one of a series that I did, and she said, can I talk to you afterwards?
Yeah.
And we chatted, and she said, Brendan, I was abandoned, I was abused, I was rejected, and I was about to medically transition, but I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the truth.
Right.
And she's like, I'm no longer doing that.
Right.
And I said, do you have any advice for us as a church? And she said, Brendan, I'll never forget this. She said, Brendan, the church cannot be afraid to share the truth of the human person because the truth is beautiful and it's worth fighting for.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, the truth is beautiful. And our evangelization efforts need to be done in that light, you know, not just truth, but bringing it to light in a way where it's attractive because the truth is beautiful.
Right. Well, we got to take a short break, but we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this and then also about steps for healing in all areas of our lives. Don't go away. Brendan, I've heard women comment on this and other Christian shows and things that sometimes I think women might feel being made an object. I grew up with that message from the feminism in the 70s, right? I'm not just a sexual object. And I can see how today's young women don't identify with that. I don't look like this movie star or these standards, so I must not be a woman, or I don't want to be used in this way, so I must talk about that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of the question of what's real masculinity or femininity, you know, okay, if a woman grows up and gosh, I like to, what used to be called like a tomboy or like, I like to play with the boys. I like, you know, I don't like Barbies or dresses. Like, am I a woman? Or it's like, you're feminine by nature. As a woman, you're feminine. And I think, I see it a lot with youth. And I think it's just in general, but like women feel like they have this ideal. I have to look this way.
Yeah.
I have to weigh this much. I have to, and it's like, if I don't conform to this image of what a beautiful woman is, I won't be wanted or pursued. And it can be tiring, just like.
Yeah.
But then I think men need to step up because that's how men have been treating women. It's like, if you don't look this way, hey, if you're not exercising, you're not lovable.
Right.
And it's just like, this is just wounds.
Right.
It's like, that we're not just a body, we're body and soul.
Yeah.
And we need to see the value of the person rather than just isolating the value of sexual values. You know, that's when we get into misusing and using one another.
Yeah, and I saw some of your videos about masculinity. I thought it was just right on that, you know, that men are, you know, if we just look at that just as how can we serve? How can we protect? How can we guide? And we'll use our masculinity, all our gifts, our energy, talents, drive in service. It just fixes so many things.
Yeah.
Rather than using others, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, one of John Paul II's favorite lines in Theology of the Body is just, we're called to become a gift.
Yeah.
And a gift doesn't say, hey, I'm going to give you this, but you gotta give me that in return.
Right.
And then that,
right.
It's like, no, that's not a gift.
Yeah.
You know, a gift is just, it's disinterested. It's for their good.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're not interested in what you get in return.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's when we find ourselves, it's when we become fully alive. It's where we become the happiest. I attest this to my own experience. I know what it's like to live for my own lust and selfishness. Yeah. Does it result in long-term happiness? No. Misery. But when I sacrifice my disordered inclinations and live for others, man, I'm way happier.
Yeah, and statistically, it says, like, you know, couples that are married have the most enjoyable conjugal life, right? And it discovers it becomes more pleasurable, more obviously fruitful in things, but more fulfilling.
Yeah.
And,
That's right.
Let's talk about the healing. You've done a lot of work on that area. You've done some work with Bob Schutz, right? He's been on the network.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did counseling with Jake Kim for a little bit, and I've attended the Healing the Whole Person retreat with Dr. Bob Schutz, and have been a lot of involved in kind of their ministry, and it's been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have three R's to some parts of the healing, right?
Yeah. What I've learned through my own healing journey in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've really taken it seriously.
Yeah.
And the main reason was because I was experiencing just resentment. I've dealt with a lot of just rejections in my life, a lot of different betrayals, and those are wounds, you know, abandonment, shame. There's all different types of wounds. And I was experiencing a lot of resentment and bitterness, and I just wasn't happy. So I was like, okay, Brennan, you got to do something about this. And so I decided to go on this healing journey. And what I've learned and what I've kind of learned from Dr. Bob Schutz and them is for healing to really take root in our hearts, because that's what we want. We want to be redeemed. And we get mad at God. Well, didn't it work? Didn't you redeem us? Why is it not taking root in my heart where I'm living this? We want that. Is the three R's. And it's renounce, receive, and reconcile. So let's go to the first. Renounce. Renouncing what? Renouncing lies that we believe about ourselves. So if someone rejects me, I have believed the lie of my life, I'm not wanted. I have to be perfect in order to be loved. So what does that create? Self-reliance, protective walls, and I gotta perform. Perfectionism. It's tiring, it doesn't work. We have to renounce. I renounce the lie in Jesus' name. I'm not wanted. And I announce the truth of who I am, that I'm beloved. I am wanted. We have to renounce the lies. We have to receive love and communion in those places of our hearts that are dark, that are scared. We have to allow love and communion to come in. That's what heals. And reconcile with God, ourself, and others. Because what I often say on our wounds, whatever our wounds and our story might be, the gas on that fire is lies and unforgiveness. And daily we have to go through this journey of entering into it. You might be driving in the car and you're experiencing resentment or loneliness. What am I believing about myself?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a daily thing.
Yeah, I find, you know, sometimes I have a difficult day and I just think it's terrible. And if I sit down and really bring it to prayer, I'm like, it really wasn't that bad. I'm just distorting everything, exaggerating things, you know, to see it, to bring God into the picture can kind of help root us and see reality more clearly. And receiving love that from God, from others, right? To let people in our life, to share some things, build some friendships, that's quite healing for us.
Yeah, yeah. And is that the camera right there? I just want to tell everyone, I was praying last night and the Lord wanted me to tell you that you are beloved, that you are wanted, and that you can trust Him, that He's coming after you and He loves you. And we don't believe that, but it's the truth. And I just invite you to pray that you might receive that, because that changed my life, the theology of the body. I know I'm loved. And when you know that, you want to tell everyone,
right?
You know,
right. And that part of the healing is bringing it to prayer, the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Talk about that part of it.
Yeah. So what I've learned from my own experience, I kind of, in Dr. Bob Schutz, a kind of a 4-step prayer model of healing, you know, is the first is what I've done, is get a journal and you write out all your negative feelings and emotions. And you're just laying it all out there and you're allowing yourself to feel it. And again, on this healing journey, we don't want to go searching for, you know, where's the pain? If you're living a joyful, free life, rejoice in it. But if you're struggling,
if something's going on,
take a journal, write it all out and feel it. You might have anger or you might cry, like feel it, allow yourself to. And the second, after writing that down, the emotions, is write down your lies. What are the lies you believe about yourself? And the third step is, Holy Spirit, where is this coming from? He might take you back to second grade. He might take you back to eighth grade, wherever. And the third step, when that's identified where this might be coming from, the fourth step is allowing Jesus in that moment and having Him speak the truth about it.
Yeah.
So I talked briefly before this about one time I was doing this prayer and I got flashback to a scene where I'm playing basketball with the guys and there's one girl on the team and I'm going up for a layup and boom, she swats me and I go falling on the ground. All the guys, oh, Brendan,
yeah.
Got swatted by a girl, swatted by a girl. In that moment, I was feeling, wow. You know, all these different lies of I'm not seen, no one cares about me. Mm. And then I place Jesus in that scene.
Yeah.
And what he grabs me, picks me up. Oh, you're my son, you're beloved. Yeah. You're good, you're enough. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's a release of that resentment or that bitterness.
Yeah, I think so much of healing too is like recognizing God's presence in our life. It's like, if I feel like he's there, sometimes in prayer, I'll just say something out loud, just say maybe what I'm feeling, what's going on. And I find I don't hear an answer or something, but it's just like I have a recognition that, hey, God's with me. You don't have to get crazy here. God's with me.
Yeah, and it's powerful to say it, what I've learned too.
Yeah.
And not just thinking, oh, I'm loved. Yeah. No. Like, say these things out loud, write it out. It's, you know.
Well, Brendan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Father.
Keep up the good work. It's much needed today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think Brendan made some very powerful points on this show. One, just our identity as children of God. We come from God. He imparts the human soul in us at the moment of creation, and we're destined to be with God forever. We get there by living out of this identity and his image and likeness to love one another, and that communion created by love is an image of God. You know, Jesus prays that they may be one as we are one, and you know, be able to witness to others so that others would believe. It's just so vital to our Christianity, and it's such a different path than what the culture proposes for us today.
It really is. And I really like the three R's he lays out of renounce, receive, and reconciliation. And I think going back to the renounce, you know, the devil is the father of lies. And so many times we can believe so many lies about ourselves. Now there might be some truth to it, but in the sense of maybe the self-improvement in a healthy sense, but a lot of times it's so easy to, especially as Brendan was talking about, whenever you experience maybe some betrayal or just rejection or maybe a disappointment, maybe you thought, you know, this was the person, and then it turned out not to be, you know, just the perfect thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and those leave deep wounds, and they affect our lives in various ways. But it's easy to just kind of sink into just this depression. Very easy. And really, I kind of think of that as kind of an acedia of just this, almost like a spiritual sloth. Now I'm just too afraid to do anything. I'm paralyzed. I'm not going to, not really going to throw myself out there. I'm not even going to trust God at this point because, you know, there's this self-preservation. I need to protect myself, you know, and I'm putting walls up and I'm shielding myself from God or church or family or whoever, you know, and that those are, to me, very self-destructive kind of habits or things that we can introduce into our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. The walls keeping God out. The solution is to let God in, to have communion with him. And I think that's been the overarching theme of the shows with Brendan, is that we're made for communion with God and with one another. And, you know, the church is that special place of communion, that gospel living, that sacramental living. We can be reconciled with God and with one another, and even with ourselves, you know. And I know for me, it is so much of it comes back to, yes, my connection with others and friendships, and in my prayer life, just to kind of bring the inner me to God, you know, and let him work with that. And to realize that he's present in our life.
Yeah.
And as Catholics, we have the Eucharist. So we can go into our church and he is there physical, his full reality of Jesus Christ is there in our churches.
Right.
So we can focus on him, experience some healing, some connection, and given the grace to love others and connect with others as well.
Yeah.
Well, may our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Someone told me as just a few.